Thank you, Emily. By the way, Emily is a student at Western Carolina, where she is majoring in music, and someday she hopes to finish up school and serve God in the capacity of music. Isn't God good in what He's doing with our young folks today? If you look inside your bulletin, you'll find an outline of today's message, and it deals with, why is there suffering and evil? You know, we just finished up a series, What Would God Say to Certain Celebrities? George Barna Research Group asked people, said, if you could ask God one question, what would that one question be? 70% of the people said they would ask God, why is there pain and suffering in the world? Well, we're not going to answer all of that in 40 minutes, but hopefully we will address the issue. I'm going to ask all that are able to please stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at verse 12, we read, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome be for those who have not obeyed the gospel of God? And if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Let us pray. Gracious God, I pray that You'd give us ears to hear what the Holy Spirit would say. Give us, God, receptive hearts. Give us, God, faith to trust Your heart, even, God, when we don't understand Your hand. Speak to us now, God, through Your Word. We'll make our prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Many of you are aware that this past week we had a celebration of life service for Shonda Camp. She was 47 years old. She died of an incurable form of cancer. What you may not know is her parents or members here had buried their other child less than 5 years ago from cancer as well, 38 years old. And it's natural to ask the question, why? Why, God, do good people like this suffer? And yet it seems like others that are wicked prosper. God, why is there evil and suffering in life? I've wrestled with this my entire ministry. I was a freshman in college. I was studying to be a chemist. We had a revival meeting, and I surrendered to the call to preach the gospel. I finished out that semester. I dropped out of the engineering program. I enrolled as a ministerial student for the gospel of Jesus Christ that January. That March, my mother was there laughing. She fell over dead, 40 years of age. I was 19 years old. 2 weeks later, I'd lived with my stepfather since I was 5 years old. 2 weeks later, he told me I had to find someplace else to live. So here it is. I've surrendered my whole life to do what God wants me to do. The most important person in my life has just died. Now I have no place to live. God, are you punishing me for doing the right thing? Recently, two boys in South Carolina went fishing in a sailboat. They meant to go out just into this little jetty and fish there, but there was a bad rip current. It grabbed their little sailboat and pulled them out into the open ocean. When they didn't come back, the Coast Guard was called. For 5 days, the Coast Guard looked for these two teenage boys, 15, 17 years old. Finally, the Coast Guard said, this is no longer a rescue mission, it's a recovery mission. We hope that we can recover the bodies of these two boys. Miraculously, 100 miles out into the ocean, a fishing boat stumbled up on their sailboat. Rescued these two boys, 15, 17 years old. The 15-year-old, his name, Troy Driscoll. He said, this is the first time in my life that I was ever mad at God. And while we were out there, I asked, God, what did I do to deserve this? The other fellow with him, 17-year-old Josh Long, lost 40 pounds while they were lost at sea. And in the hospital, here's what he said. He said, I can honestly say I never gave up hope. God had his hand on us the whole time. Two guys, they had the same experience. One got mad at God and said, why me? And the other one had hope because he felt God's hand was on him the whole time. Did you know that is a picture of the experiences that people have when they have suffering in their life? They either get mad at God and they get bitter, or they trust God and they get better. Today we're going to look at the subject, why is there evil and suffering in the world? The first thing I want to share with you is the reality. Life is unfair. Malachi chapter 3 verse 15. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly evildoers prosper. And even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. When my children were small, they'd tell me often, all the time, Dad, that's not fair. Dad, that's not fair. I'd say, son, life's not fair. Get over it. Okay? Life's not fair. At the O.J. Simpson trial, when the jury came out and said not guilty, Nicole Brown's mother said, God, where are you? You ever had experiences in your life make you wonder where God was at? Well, I can tell you where God's at. God is on his throne. And I may not understand everything that the hand of God does, but here's what I do understand, and that is the heart of God, and the heart of God loves me even if I don't understand the circumstances around me. I'm going to trust in what I don't know, not what I don't know. I'm going to trust what I do know. Ecclesiastes 8:14 says it this way, there is something else meaningless that occurs on earth. The righteous who get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked get what the righteous deserve. This too, I say, is meaningless. But let me caution you today. Life is not always what you think it is. I'll give you a story that illustrates that. There were four people riding on a stagecoach. There was this real straight-laced, older, stern woman. And there was a young, attractive woman. There was an old grizzly drill sergeant and a young private that just finished his basic training. They're all four on the stagecoach. They're going out through the Old West and they come into a tunnel. And it's dark. When they get in there in the darkness, all of a sudden there's the sound of a kiss. Mwah. And then there's a loud whap-yah. They come out on the other side of the tunnel, and the old sergeant's rubbing his face, and it looked like somebody just whopped the hound out of him. The old woman sitting over there with a little smirk on her face, she said, I know what happened. That young boy had been making eyes at this pretty little girl, and he reached over and got him a kiss, and she slapped the sergeant by mistake. But she was wrong. The young woman said, I know what happened. That young fella been making eyes at me, and in the dark he thought he'd steal a kiss, but he kissed the old woman instead, and she slapped the sergeant thinking it was the young man. Well, she was wrong. The old sergeant sitting there, and he's thinking, he said, I know what's happened here. The young guy meant to kiss the young girl. He kissed the old woman instead, and she had slapped a far out of me, thinking I'm him. And you'd be wrong again. See, this young private saw what was going on, and as soon as it got dark, he reached over and kissed the back of his hand, and pow, slapped the sergeant as hard as he could. You see, sometimes in life we look and we think we know the facts, and then we interpret what we think are the facts, and we come up with a wrong conclusion. You see, that's why we need to leave the judging to God, because God knows all the facts, and God is holy, and God is just, and God is perfect, and God doesn't get it wrong. But we do. Life is unfair. Secondly, I want you to see the reason why life is unfair, why there's suffering and evil in the life. Why does God let it happen? Well, a couple of foundational truths we want to establish to begin with. Number one, God created everything good. In Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. You need to understand that there is evil and suffering in the world, not because God created it, because everything God created is good. All right, so we're going to have a little pop test here today, okay? I'm going to have some images up here of some people. And when they pop up, I want you to holler out good or bad, okay? Let's do this. All right, good or bad? The first one? All right. The second one? All right, the third one. If you'll hit them twice there so they can see the name. Good. All right, the next one. All right, the next one. I told you about coming up with the wrong conclusion a while ago. But did you notice that some of those, to you, it appeared obvious that they were good. Some of them, it appeared obvious they were bad. Some of them were mixed. Some people thought they were good. Some people thought they were bad. But I want you to know every one of these pictures up here, when they were made and God made them, they were good. I want you to know that Charles Manson was good when God made him. I want you to know Osama bin Laden was good when God made him. Billy Graham was good when God made him. And people choose to do evil and to do wrong. And when they do, there's evil and suffering in the world. Not because God is evil or he's made evil, but because people choose evil. Notice here, there is moral evil in the world. That is, people just do stuff that's wrong. Romans 3:10 says, it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So a while ago, who's good and who's bad? According to Romans, we're all bad. Because eventually we will all choose different than what God would choose for us. And we're so inconsistent as human beings. We get righteous when there's a school shooting. Why did God allow that? Why didn't God just grab him a thunderbolt, you know, jack it up and load that thing up, and boom, I'm going to zap him. Huh? That's what I would do if I was God. I'd have prevented that. Oh, so you're wiser than God. You're holier than God. That's what we're really saying when we make statements like that. I mean, if I were God, I'd take a thunderbolt and I'd zap every one of the terrorists. Aren't you glad God doesn't zap everybody who has hate in their heart? You see, the terrorist has hate in his heart, but who in this room has never had hate in their heart? The terrorist is prejudiced towards people that don't believe like them. Who in this room has never prejudged someone? So if God's going to take a thunderbolt and zap the terrorist, who else does he have to zap? What if God would take a thunderbolt and zap the thief every time? I mean, we wouldn't have any stealing, right? Well, I wonder how many people in this congregation God would have to zap with a thunderbolt because you don't tithe. Because you see, the Bible says if you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. You see how inconsistent we are when we want God to zap the other person that chooses wrong, but we don't want God zapping us when we choose wrong. You see, we're inconsistent. God is consistent. But not only is there moral evil in the world, there is natural evil in the world. In verse 17, to Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. When Adam and Eve sinned, sin entered into the world. We live in a sinful, fallen, broken world. As a matter of fact, the New Testament says it this way. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up into the present time. While there are tornadoes, while there are hurricanes, while there are tsunamis, the very earth, creation itself, groans for the second return of Jesus Christ to set everything in order because Adam and Eve, with their sin, which you and I have continued, makes it a broken world that we live in. Let's just admit up front, there's a lot we don't understand. I'm not going to give you all the answers today, but hopefully you will realize some truths of God that will help you. What am I talking about? Not long ago, we were in church service, and we had some woman in here, and she had her iPad. It was right before church got started, and it rang. Her iPad rang. And she looked down there, and she had a FaceTime request from her daughter. Her daughter was 10,000 miles away serving in the United States military, and here it is on her iPad. There's no wires, there's no connection, and she sees her daughter, sees her grandchild, she has a conversation. Now, somebody in here tell me how that works. I don't understand it. Oh, you say, preacher, it's connected to Wi-Fi. Will you explain to me how that works? Pictures and sounds, they just travel through the air 10,000 miles, and we see it like they were right there in front of us. I don't understand that, but you know what? Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because I don't understand it don't mean I can't enjoy it. There's lots of things in life we will never understand. We just need to admit it. So what are some of the reasons for suffering? Number one, because God gives me and you a choice. Deuteronomy 11:26, today I'm giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse. When God made human beings, God said, I'm going to give you a choice. I'm going to give you a choice to love me or not to love me. You see, it's not really love if you don't have a choice. You remember Charlie Brown? You remember how he had a crush on the little red-headed girl? Well, she didn't give him the time of day. We see, it's not love unless you choose. You see, Charlie Brown couldn't make the little red-headed girl love him. God wanted us to love him, and so it has to be a choice. When I was younger, my sisters had toy dolls. And back in the day, if you had a really fancy doll, you had one that had a string in the back of it. And you'd pull that string, and it would talk to you. And they had one of them, and they'd pull it, and the little doll would say, "I love you. I love you." Now, let me ask you something. Did that doll love you? Did it love my sister? And she'd pull it and say, "I love you." And she'd hold that little doll and say, "Oh, I love you." Now, she might have loved the doll, but the doll didn't love her. And see, God could have made a world where there's no evil and there's no suffering, but he had made you and I like that doll with a little string that had no choice. But then that wouldn't be love. And God wanted us to love him, so he gave us a choice. Secondly, there is suffering in the world because judgment is coming. Ecclesiastes 3:17, I said to myself, "In due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds." Why don't God do something? Well, he's going to. You just be patient. Let me give you a scenario. Let's say at the first of this year, 2018, that you had to go to the dentist for a root canal. And in the middle of the root canal, they ran out of anesthesia. And so they have to finish the root canal, and you experience all of the pain and the suffering without any medication. And then on the way home, you're sitting there, "Oh gosh, my jaw, it hurts so bad." And then you wreck your car. And what's even worse, you wrecked it by running into your wife's car. And then when you get home, you find out the neighbor has run over your cat. I mean, you know, it's just a really, really bad day. Your best friend stabbed you in the back. You lose your job. I mean, you know, it's just a real... This is January 1. Oh, my goodness. But you get up on January the 2nd and you think, "Well, I got to go find me a job. I lost my job." You get a phone call. And you get a phone call and you're informed by an attorney that a distant relative you didn't even know existed has decided to leave you in their inheritance while they're still alive, and you have inherited $42 million. 2018 looking pretty good. Not only that, but Time Magazine calls and they have selected you as Person of the Year, and you're going to be on the cover of Time Magazine. I'm telling you, your wife thinks you're wonderful. Your kids think you're wonderful. Dale Tiger Wood calls you up and asks you to play golf, and you beat him. Yeah. And I mean, every day is just one wonderful day after another for 364 days. And on January the 1st, 2019, somebody comes up to you and said, "Hey man, how's it going?" You say, "Oh, it's going wonderful, wonderful." And you say, "Well, I thought it was terrible. Man, I thought you had a wreck and lost your job and all that." "Oh yeah, well yeah, that happened on day one. But let me tell you, after that, everything has just been wonderful since then." How would you look back on 2018? You wouldn't judge it by that one bad day, would you? Well, folks, if you're a child of God, you've got all eternity. For 500 billion years, God is going to have an opportunity to bless you. And if you will ever remember the sufferings down here, it will seem like nothing compared to what God has in store for you in the future. See, we want to judge all of life from right now instead of the long view. Number three, God allows suffering to give me a chance to repent. 2 Peter 3:9 says, The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The truth of the matter is many people don't turn their lives over to God when life is good. Many people turn their lives over to God when life is hard. I want you to think about nations that have turned their back on God. And then a national disaster will happen like Pearl Harbor. And what happens? A whole country will come back to God. Do you remember what happened when Desert Storm took place? The United States entered Iraq on a Wednesday night. I remember the mood in the church. Everybody was weeping and crying at the altar. The following Sunday, the church house was packed out. The next week, it was packed out because Saddam Hussein says there's going to be the mother of all wars. People thought Armageddon is right around the corner. Let me tell you what happened. Churches were full. World War II, churches were full. 9/11, churches were full. You see, most people change because they see the light or they feel the heat. And for many people, it's only when they feel the heat. It's only when life is hard and difficult that people will call out and say, "Oh, God, have mercy on me. God, I need your help." And so suffering happens in the world to give us time to repent. Joni Erickson Tada was an Olympic swimming champion. She dove off of a bridge. The water was much more shallow. She broke her neck and became paralyzed from the neck down. For 40 years now, she'd been confined to a wheelchair. But I found it amazing what she said. Here's what she said. "If I could choose between knowing God and walking, I would choose the wheelchair." Her suffering made her turn to God. Think about it. Sometimes God will use the pain of life to cause us to look up to Him. Number four, God can use suffering to grow me. It's been my experience is there's more growth in the valley than there is in the mountaintop. Notice here, God uses suffering to direct me. Proverbs 20 and verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. We have a man in our church, and diabetes had run in his family for years and years. But you know what? He said, "Well, it's not going to happen to me." He ate what he wanted to, did what he wanted to. He went to the doctor, and he said, "Guess what? You're severe diabetic." He changed his lifestyle. He started exercising. He started eating right. He lost 40 pounds, and now he's no longer diabetic. You see, the suffering, the difficulty in his life made him change. It came to a point where it put him in a different direction. Number two, God uses suffering to inspect me. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands." And so sometimes suffering comes into our life because God is inspecting our life. He's inspecting our character. He's inspecting our hope. Number three, God uses suffering to correct me. Isaiah 48:10. "I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. I have refined you in the furnace of suffering." How many of you were corrected by your parents when you were smaller? Did your mom ever say anything stupid to you? My mama used to say stupid stuff to me all the time. She'd pull out that little old hickory and she'd say, "Son, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." And I'm thinking, "No way, Mom, no way." And I want you to know, when she got that little hickory out, she inflicted suffering. But you know what that did? That corrected my behavior. My mother died before I ever had children. But if my mother were living today, I'd have to have gone back to her. And I said, "Mom, I'm sorry. You were right." First time I ever had to spank one of my children, I thought, "Oh, God, Mama, you were right." And so understand that when God allows suffering to come into your life to correct you, it hurts the heart of God. Psalms 119:71 says, "My suffering was good for me." That's in the Bible. for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees. When you're having a hard time, when life is tough, when you're suffering, instead of asking why, ask what. Instead of why is this happening to me, ask the question, God, what am I to learn in this experience? God's trying to teach you something. God's trying to stretch you. God's trying to grow you. You go to the gym, don't you, Brent? You go out there and you in the gym, you work out and you stretch that stuff, right? And you tear that muscle. It hurts, doesn't it? But then it grows back what? Bigger. God stretches our faith to make us grow. Number four, God uses suffering to protect me. You say, huh? How's that possible? Genesis 50:20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. His brothers sold him into slavery. Joseph was a slave for 13 years. But because of his suffering, the whole nation of Israel, the whole tribe of Jacob, all of them were saved out of his suffering. I remember when I had to take my first child the first time to the doctor to get their shots. I'm over here on this end holding his arms. The nurse is coming up from the rear end with the needle. And I'm just, hey, son, hey, we just having a happy go time. And all of a sudden, his eyes got real big. And his chin began to quiver. And tears ran down his eyes. And he gave me that look like, why did you let that woman do that to me? Did it hurt? It did. Did I do it because I didn't love him? No, I did it because I did love him. You see, what I was trying to do, I allowed a little suffering to come into his life to prevent a lot worse suffering to come into his life. God uses suffering to protect us. And then number five, God uses suffering to perfect me, to mature me. Romans 5, verses 3. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Let's do a little survey here. How many of you would like to have hope? Really? If you didn't raise your hand, you want to be hopeless. All right, let's try this again. How many of you want to have hope in your life? Okay. How many of you want to have character? Not be a character, but to have character. All right. How many of you want to have patience? You want to be a patient person. Woo, look at all of you. Now notice what that passage says. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, patience. Patience, perseverance produces character. Character produces. So let me tell you how y'all going to get all that? Suffering. Suffering. You see, God uses suffering to mature you. All right, so if the things that we're saying today are true, what should be the godly response? If you want to live a righteous, godly life, how will you respond to evil? How will you respond to suffering? Number one, I will deal with evil within me. He who conceals his sin does not prosper. Whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Let's be honest with each other today. Most of the suffering in our life comes because we make poor decisions. We make poor decisions. We make bad decisions. We make decisions that don't honor God. And when we do that, there's suffering that's a part of it. I told a story similar to this the other night. Many of you weren't here, so I'm going to tell this story that is similar to it. A woman had a couple of teenage daughters. They wanted to go to a movie that was questionable because it had a nude scene in it and some really bad violence. And they said, Mom, all of our kids, all of our friends are going to see this movie. And we know it has this one bad part, but it's only one bad part. Let us go. Let us go. She said, well, let me think about it. A couple of hours later, they come back and say, Mom, have you thought about it? She said, yes, I have. And she took out this great big pan of chocolate chip cookies. Oh, they smelled so heavenly. And she put them out and she says, now, here's the deal. If you eat all of these chocolate chip cookies, you can go see the movie. I said, all right, all right. She said, now wait a minute, before you dive in, you got to eat all of them. Not most of them, not some of them. You got to eat all of them. Well, that's not a problem. Here, here, let us have them. Said, no, wait a minute. Before you do this, I want you to know I put in the Toll House cookies. I put in the brown sugar. I put in the cream and the milk. But I also took a scoop of kitty litter out of the cat box, and I put it in there too. And I mixed it all up. Now, everything else in there is good except this one thing of kitty litter. Now, when you eat all the cookies, you can go to the movies. They passed. So many times we don't look at the kitty litter in our heart. So many times we don't look at the kitty litter in our life. We say, God, look at all this good stuff. God bless me. God bless me. God says, I want you to deal with the sin that's in your life. Secondly, decide that I will defeat evil wherever I can. Romans 12:21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So when the suffering of life comes, when evil comes, instead of being beat down and giving up, what do? You said, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's good to the best of my ability. And I don't, it doesn't matter what this person does, what I'm going to do is with God's help. I'm going to honor him the best I can. There's a bad storm out on the coast. At the end of the storm, there's a little boy out there, and he's reaching down and he's picking up starfish and tossing them out into the ocean. And a guy comes by and looks at him and says, son, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm tossing these starfish back out in the ocean because they're going to die if I don't. And he said, son, look, as far as the eye can see, this way and that way, there's hundreds of thousands of starfish. What difference do you think you can make? He reached down, he picked up one, he tossed it out there. He looked at it and said, made all the difference to that one. Folks, you can't change everything in the world, but you can change some things. And do what you can do. Make a difference for that one. And then number three, I will depend upon God when I'm hurting and suffering. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. When you're hurting, when life is hard and difficult, trust God. Say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I trust you anyhow. God, I don't understand the circumstances, but I believe, God, you love me. I believe, God, you want what's best for me. And God, I'm going to trust you. 37 years ago, I had the worst tragedy take place in my life. I want you to know I became so depressed that I wanted to die. I became so depressed I prayed to die. You see, I knew that suicide was wrong. And so I said, God, just let me die, because the pain was so bad I didn't want to feel it anymore. And I remember arguing with God. And I remember telling God, you're all powerful. You can do anything. God, you're all knowing. You know everything. And so, God, if you knew it was going to happen, and God, you can do everything, God, why didn't you stop it from happening? God, do you not love me? God, why are you letting this happen to me? You know what? If you tell God what you really feel, God will listen and God will talk back to you. Let me tell you what God told me. I'm just a fussing with God. And God says to me, Dennis, have you ever made any mistakes? I said, God, I've made a lot of them. He said, Dennis, have I ever made a mistake? I said, God, I don't know a mistake you've ever made. And God, just as clear as could be, spoke to me and he said, I haven't made one now. Certainly did look like it from where I was hurting. But I said, God, I don't understand it. But God, I'm going to trust you. Folks, that was 37 years ago. You know, let me tell you what God's done in my life since then. God introduced a beautiful young woman in my life named Teresa. We got married. We've been married for 35 years. God blessed us with two wonderful kids. And now we have two daughter-in-laws. We have a grandson. I've been pastor of this church here for the last 20 years. Do you understand? I would have missed all of that if God would have heard my prayer and let me die when I was feeling sorry for myself. But instead of feeling sorry for myself, I put my hand in God's hand, not knowing how it was going to turn out, just knowing that I could trust the heart of God. Today, based on God's word, based on my personal experience, you can trust God with your heart, with your pain, with your struggle, with your difficulties in life. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Nobody's looking around. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come to this altar. Those of you that are in a difficult spot right now, and you say, God, I don't understand. God, I got more questions than I got answers. I'm going to ask you to get up and come to this altar and say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but I trust your heart. That God, you love me. And God, you've got a plan. And God, you're going to bring good even out of this bad. I'm going to ask you in a moment to get up out of your seat and say, God, I can't make a difference in the whole world, but I can make a difference where I'm at. God, use me to make a difference in an evil world. In a moment, we have the invitation. I'm going to ask you to get up, come to this altar. And you can't fix anybody else's sin, but you can come and say, God, fix the evil that's in me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would now take the words of God, move upon our hearts, and God, as you speak, Lord, may we respond in faith to trust you, the God that you love us, God, you care about us, and God, you are holding us in your hands. Lead us now, God, as we make our decisions. In Jesus' name, amen.